Hello and welcome to Boom in Your Face, a platform for indie artists and musicians to come and share their new music or project.
We're excited to dive into the backstories in the world of independent artistry and explore the stories and experiences of those who are creating some of the most exciting and innovative work today. As we all know, the entertainment industry can be a challenging and competitive place, and independent artists and creatives often face even greater hurdles when it comes to getting their work seen or heard. However, despite these challenges, independent artists and creatives continue to push the boundaries of what's possible and bring their unique perspectives and talents to the world. So whether you're a fan of independent music, film, art, or just love hearing about the latest trends and developments in the entertainment industry, we invite you to join us on this exciting journey. With your support, we can shine a spotlight on the incredible work being done by independent artists and creators around the world and help to ensure their voices are heard loud and clear. That's why we need your support. We're committed to bringing you the most interesting and informative conversations with independent artists and creators from all walks of life. But we can't do it without your help. By supporting our podcast, you help us to bring these important stories to a wider audience and give independent artists and creatives the recognition they deserve. And I'm thanking you ahead of time for all your support, but also want to remind you that Boom in Your Face has a second meaning, that sometimes you think life is going one way, but Boom in Your Face, it goes a total different way. So sit back and relax, enjoy, and blessings.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? How's your week been going?
Pretty good. Been busy.
That's good. It's good if you want to be busy.
It's a pleasure for you giving me the opportunity to be on this podcast, so I really appreciate that.
It's a blessing having you. Thank you for gracing us with your presence.
Thank you.
So welcome to Boom in Your Face podcast, and I want you to introduce yourself and give any social media out that you want to share on how people can reach and contact you.
Okay. All right. Well, my name is Will Covington. They call me Willie Covington, some people, but I prefer Will. And my company is Inferno Music Group. Okay. And it is a recording consulting company that we work with new artists. We work with some old artists too, but we produce projects. What we do also, we do different small productions and even large productions that we get a chance to work with. We work with all different genres of music. We work with R&B, rock, pop, blues, some gospel, but I work with the gospel with my wife on her, on EGI Records. I work with her with the gospel on that.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's beautiful.
But, yes, but we also do a lot of different productions with kids. We work with that too through the different programs that we have.
No, I was saying you're giving us a lot, and so you have such a long list of activities that you do and helping the community. So we're going to let's learn about Will Covington and everything you. So we'll start with your illustrious career as a drummer and a musician. You can tell us a little backstory to that and share that with the audience.
Okay, well, a backstory to that, if you can go all the way back, go all the way back to 1965.
All right.
So we are way back. Mm-hmm. But in 1965, I was able to work some projects and do a lot of different projects with a group called the Ink Spots. I don't know if you all remember them, but I was able to play drums with the Ink Spots at the early age of 15 years old. I got a chance to do that and work up with them. And then in 19, we're going to move up to 1969. Okay. When I decided, I said, wait a minute, I want to start a record label. And the record label that I envisioned was once similar to Motown Records and Solar, because those were the only actual black record companies, basically, or African-American record companies that was around at that time. But we had one in Miami that was called Deep City Records.
Okay.
And we had one in Miami, but I wasn't affiliated with Deep City. But I did know about it, and I knew the people who were running it.
Okay.
But at that same time, I decided to go ahead on and produce us a record I was trying. I'm 19 years old. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. trying to do it.
Right.
Spending money.
Mm-hmm. That's how you learn.
Yeah, so we went over to Criteria and we did a song called Hard Way Out. Believe me, it was a hard way out because we didn't do anything with that song other than lose money. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it was a hard way out. But it taught us a lot about the industry and about the business. But in 1972, we had started, at that time, we had already started a group. And the group was called Raw Soul Express. And we was able to go head on into different productions. And we recorded different projects. And those projects seemed to take hold. And they did a lot of things to help the group. And the group got very, very popular in the Miami area and in South Florida, period.
Right.
And we ended up doing that. And we put out a project. And at that time, as we moved with the project, I left that group because I left that group and started working with other artists. And one of the artists that I had a chance, I didn't get a chance to play with him a long time, but I got a chance to work with James Brown just for a few times.
Right.
Yeah,
hey, just for a few times.
And that was only because what happened is the group that we had, it got very popular too.
Okay.
So I, you know, I was learning that, wait a minute, I'd rather do my own thing. Than, so right. we kept working with that. And so we moved all the way up until 1976, which we were able, during that time, we had approximately about 7 or 8 records that was pretty good records that sold a lot, moved a lot.
Okay.
And in 1976, though, we kind of woke up a little bit as far as the industry go, because we had been in long enough to learn about the industry. Right. And we found out that what happened is the copyright laws had changed in 1976.
Mm-hmm.
So when the copyright laws changed, that meant that we were able to, those songs that this label that we was on, the music that they had actually taken from us, we were able to get it back because of the change in the copyright laws. But we had to wait 25 years afterwards in order to get the rights back to the songs and to the music. Okay. But what happened, a lot of times, see, these companies don't think you're going to live long enough to
cash in,
to get your songs back, or they think you don't know how to get them back, one or the other.
Right, that's true, too.
So what we ended up doing, we ended up staying around. We stayed in the business with the help of my wife, who in 1979, we got married. But in 1980, we started our own company, and we pursued the industry, staying in the industry, and working on different projects that we had. So in 1980, we decided, okay, what we're going to do, we're going to go back to the same label, and we put out another song. But the song that we put out this time was called Freebase. Now, if you know anything about if you know anything about Freebase, then you know what happened with that. Everybody was Freebasing in 1980. So in 1980, we put that song out called Freebase. Set your mind on fire if that's your desire. All you got to do is put it in the pipe. When you fire it up, make it feel real fine. Feel Freebase. So that's
I love that beat to it too. That drum. That's you.
Yeah. Oh, you heard that song? Well, that's us.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's me on drums.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the catch. That's the draw right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So we ended up doing that song, putting that song out. And but we went back to the same label that we was on. What we did, though, we changed the band's name. We changed it from Raw Soul Express to Wisdom. Now, you got to understand something. We use the same members.
Okay.
We just changed the name of the band. So what happened, we ended up doing that in 1980. Mm-hmm. We put that out, and that song got very popular, you know, with us, because I guess what everybody was doing, they were listening to that song. Mm-hmm. You know,
it was most on not even the lyrics, that music was something.
Yeah.
Sorry, that chord. Because that was on my playlist when there was no playlist popping
out. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that was us. I know you didn't know that either.
No, I didn't. But I'm glad to know the man behind the song, the music. See, sometimes you hear all this great music and it's on your favorites and you say you can't place the face to it, but I love the connection.
Mm-hmm. Well, here we are. Well, here I am, basically.
Yes.
So what ended up happening is that in 1982, well, matter of fact, let's go back a little bit to 1980. My wife, because she has a master's degree in business administration and a degree, an associate degree in accounting, she pushed me into the situation of, hey, look, we need to start a business. You need to do this as a business. You don't need to be just out there running around like a musician with your head cut off, spending your money and doing everything that, you know, nonsense. Anyway, I was able to. She was the head. She became the head.
Business, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she began to do that, and she taught me. She began to teach me a lot about the business. I didn't want to know nothing about no business. I was a musician. Mm-hmm. Who in the heck? I don't have time for that. Let me do the music.
That's good though.
Yeah, we began to do that, and then God blessed us with a song in 1982 that we recorded called After Loving You. Okay. Now, when we recorded that song, we actually put it out on EGI Records label at the beginning. We put it out on that label.
Right.
Well, other record labels heard the song and they decided, whoa, wait a minute. They got something. We got something here.
Right.
So we had a guy, L.C. Sneed, and he was actually one of the guys who was promoting music for Warner Brothers.
Okay.
So he took the song and he piggybacked the song with Prince song.
Okay, well, that's a nice pickup.
Well, what happened is by him doing that, though, it got the song so popular that we were able to work off that song 2 years.
Wow.
Without doing any other songs. But we got also so popular till we couldn't do all the jobs that was coming to us. So my wife, she decided that, hey, wait a minute. If you guys can't do all the jobs, let's start a booking agency. So she put that together.
And
we started a booking agency, and she began to put together and get all different kinds of groups. We had mariachi bands, we had stilt walking, we had fire eaters. And we had a lot of other bands too. That that if they could play and meet the standard that we needed, so that it wouldn't diminish what we was doing with the people that we had contracts with. Then we would let them take some of those jobs that we had. And so they would take some of those jobs and they would go ahead on and do it. And we ended up working with that song. And then we got a Western Union from guess who? Pat Benatar.
Wow. No, not Pat Benatar. She was the 80s queen.
Right. But we were crazy. We were young and we didn't know any better. Mm-hmm. So when we got the first... when we got the first Western Union, we thought it was phony.
Okay.
And it had a $500,000 on it.
Wow. Okay.
Well, guess what? We young, we think it's not real.
Okay.
We don't take it.
Oh.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
So every week though, they didn't stop. They wanted that song.
Mm-hmm.
So they kept sending us something, but every week, the price went down.
What?
Yeah, it kept going.
It's supposed to go the opposite way.
It kept going lower and lower and lower and lower. And finally, once it dropped down to $100,000, we said, wait a minute, we've been not letting it drop no lower than this.
Yeah, don't roll down.
We got a little bit wiser, and so we ended up agreeing to a licensing deal with a company out of Europe where she's from.
Okay.
So we did a licensing deal and we did that in 1983.
Okay, so you never asked where's the other 400?
Well, the other 400 was now was because
it was the learning lesson. That's it. Right. It took $400,000 to learn that lesson.
It took a big boy. Look at here. That lesson there. Yeah, we don't want to ever learn another one like that.
That's right.
So anyway, we decided, oh boy, okay. So my wife and I, we went up to New York City, uh-huh. and we went to the Mayflower Hotel. If you know anything about New York, you know that's in Manhattan. We stayed in the Mayflower Hotel and signed that contract and got the money. Okay. Well, during that time, you can come back with money in your briefcase, and the police wouldn't stop you during that time. Right. So we came all the way back home with all the money and everything, and that's what we did. That's how we solidified that particular song, and got it licensed. Well, we kept moving, we kept doing shows, we kept doing things, and then in 1984, two friends of mine came by the studio because Gwen and I, mm-hmm. at that time, we had a studio and we had everything. We had the conference room. I mean, everything you want.
Right. And,
they came in and they asked us. It was Luther Dixon. I know you heard of the Shirelles.
Yes.
Yeah, well, he's the one who produced the Shirelles. Mm-hmm. And Dave Crawford, who produced Candace Staten.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so they came by the studio and Luther Dixon and I were very good friends, and Luther said, he asked us, could he use the studio?
Right.
So we said, yes, you can go ahead on and use it. So he said, well, I ain't got no money. I said, well, you can use it anyway. You're a friend of mine.
Well, you know, a friend of ours, basically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So him and Dave, they went in the back to the studio, and I don't know what they were doing. We didn't even go back there to see.
Right.
And so they when they finished, they came out and he said, Will, we're finished and we will pay you. So I got my hand out and I said, okay. But they didn't have no money.
Right.
So he said, I'll pay you later on. We'll pay you. We will pay you. We will come back and pay you. I said, okay. Okay. So what happened is they left. Mm-hmm. And because he was a friend of mine, I never thought anything else about it.
Right.
And then in the latter part mm-hmm. of 1984, okay. they came back and they said, Will, we come to pay you. So I'm still got my hand out now for real. thinking I'm going to get me some money.
You getting another suitcase.
Hey, I was thinking. So he said, you know what? He said, I can't pay you with no money, but I got something for you. I said, what you got? He said, you know B.B. King? I say, yeah, I know B.B. King. You said B.B. King is over at another studio waiting on you to come. Mm. I said, waiting on me to come? He said, yeah, because we know you can handle the job. So that's why we said you. And so that's why we thought of you, because you helped us, so we're going to help you.
Right.
So I went to the other studio, but before I went to the studio, I belonged to the American Federation of Musicians.
Okay.
So my wife, Gwen, she said, Will, let me fill out the paperwork before you go over there. Because, mm-hmm. see, you can go over there and you can record something and right. you'll be one of those musicians that only get $50,
mm-hmm.
you know. But right. Oh, you so happy to get $50 and playing in the studio. Well, I filled out she filled out the paperwork. But I took the paperwork over there. And when I got to the studio, B.B. King was sitting on the sofa.
Okay.
And I went in and he said, you will? I said, yes. He said, well, let's get busy. Let me hear what you got, what you could do. So I said, okay. So I went and sat on the drum set in the studio and they began to, they played a track with no drums on. And he said, show me what you could do for this track. So I started playing it. I played it. He loved it. I said, wow. So he said, Will, I got a question for you. So I said, what? He said, would you want to play on the entire album? Mm. I said, you know, I I'm about to jump up in the sky, but
right out the
instead of saying yes real quick, let me think about it. Let me think about it, because something else might come up. He said, well, you make up your mind. Now you got to say yes or no.
All right, don't play it
so,
too hard.
Yeah, yeah. So I said, yeah. So to tell you, Ms. Kirstie, that was the first time that I ever made $3,000 in one day.
Wow.
That was the first time. And then I realized, and I said, wait a minute, I do have something. I do have some kind of talent. And then
it took that for you to know that you was blessed with a gift.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you don't really realize what you have. Sometimes it's like that. It takes a long time to realize how great you are.
That's what it took. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. So what am I gonna do now? I played, and he asked me, he said, well, Will. He said, do you want to play on my next album? Now, I was a studio drummer, not the drummer that you guys see out there on the road with them. I didn't do that because I had my own band and we was popular.
Okay.
So I didn't go out on the road with them. But what happened at the same time, we were doing so much work too still. I mean, the band that we had, we were doing so much work till it got like, whoa, you know, I mean, we got kind of swamped a little bit. And then we went from doing shows, and we still did shows, but we started promoting shows. We got a chance to do Billy Paul. We did the OJs. We did Lakeside. We did Richard Smallwood, Shirley Caesar. I mean, Luther Vandross, some of everybody. Wow. Yeah.
And dropping some names.
Yeah, and we got a chance. We got a chance to work. Also, we got a chance to work with DeBarge, and we got that through some friend of ours that was working for Motown. Mm-hmm. And what happened is, we got a chance to book and work with a lot of Motown groups, because what happened is when we got a chance to deal with the deal.
Now, we're going to stop right there, because the deal is that Will Covington has such an elaborate and extensive career that we're going to have to stop here. Part one of a 3-part series. I mean, you don't want to miss what happens next, because the deal is boom in your face. You're going to have to listen to part 2 and 3 to find out this fantastic story in music history that you just do not want to miss. See you in part 2.
Listeners, I want to thank you again for joining me for another episode of Boom in Your Face. Please remember to support the podcast on the website. As a reminder, if you'd like to share your Boom in Your Face music, or share your Boom in Your Face moment, or just want to join in the conversation, reach out and email me at boominyourface616@gmail.com, or visit the website and sign up for the newsletter and share your story. I'm your host, Mary Kearney. Be blessed. Boom in your face. Boom in your face. Boom in your face.